This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Man, it's been a great day so far, hasn't it? Wonderful music, seeing the kids up here. Listen, there is nothing on television tonight. Not as good as what's going to be here this evening. You know, you talk about joy and celebration. We're going to have joy tonight. We're going to celebrate. There are going to be wonderful children singing, beautiful music, cookies, milk. Maybe somebody will sneak some coffee to us. You never know. But today and tonight's about joy. As we attempt to light this pink candle this morning, and we succeeded, we are in our third week of Advent. Again, the word Advent from the Latin Adventus literally means something's coming. Something's going to happen. As we said last week, we get our English word adventure from it. Everybody likes a good adventure. An exciting time. And certainly this should be and is an exciting time, especially this time of year. And it's wonderful for us, and we have reason to celebrate, because as we think of this great time, I kind of like to couch it as being, we are in God's bracket period. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that we are living in between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. We've been looking in Isaiah for the last few weeks. We will this morning as well. As the Jews looked forward, the Hebrew nation looked forward to the coming Messiah. They looked forward to the advent of God's King. We have the privilege in 2025 of looking back to His first coming. And now we anticipate, because He came one time, He's coming again, He said He would. We anticipate His second coming. So in a real sense, we are almost in a better place. We get to look back. We get to look forward. We are celebrative because, man, we can see it. Jesus came once, and when He came, He promised He would come again. And He's coming back. That's what Advent is all about. When it was begun in the early church, it was a way to celebrate the Feast of Christ, Latin Christmas, the Feast of Christ. And the disciples then celebrated His first coming and His second coming. And in the first 2 weeks, we've looked at the anticipation of hope, confident anticipation that God would do what He said He would do. Thus, the first candle represents that anticipation, hope. Last week, we talked about the expectation of peace. Because knowing that God is going to make all things right should give us peace. Should give us peace and confidence and allow us to settle in God's arms to carry us through. That's the second candle. This morning I lit the third candle, the pink candle. That represents joy. So we're going to talk about joy today. And that's, you know, we think of Christmas, we think of it as a joyful celebration. We sing the songs, we decorate, we light lights, we feast, we enjoy good food and good family company and friends. We celebrate. And I submit to you, there is not a thing wrong with that. You know, I realize you get on social media, Facebook, Instagram, all those places people say Christmas is pagan. Just shake your head and keep scrolling, okay? Christmas is a time where we honor and celebrate the coming of Christ. We sang the song this morning, Joy to the World. When that song was written, it's an amazing song, especially for the Advent season, because it celebrates both the first and second coming of Christ. So as we see in Christianity.com, a good source for information on this topic, here in the third week of Advent, it says, more than any other week during the Advent season, This third week represents a shift in attitude. One moves from hope, repentance, and fear of the coming judge to rejoicing at the coming of salvation and the kingdom of God as Jesus makes all things new. We celebrate. When we looked at the other chapters in Isaiah, they were under tremendous oppression from the Assyrians, from the Babylonians. And in the future, the Jews would continue to experience oppression from the Medo-Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. Throughout history, Israel has been persecuted and oppressed. In modern times, Nazi Germany went after them to the point where Adolf Hitler killed 2 out of every 3 adult Jews in Europe. And even now in the world, in our culture, Jews are being maligned and persecuted yet again. They are God's people. Even in rebellion, they are God's people. And it's interesting, something we can learn from our Jewish friends and those who know Christ, our Jewish brothers, is how to celebrate. Read through the Old Testament and see all of their feast days. It seemed like they had a party every other month. They celebrated, they feasted, they enjoyed. You know, we have Christmas and Easter. I tell you, I think next month we need to have a business meeting and add a couple of more feast days on our calendar. Amen? I'm all for that. We can come up with all kinds of fun things. Because we should be joyful. We should celebrate. And bless God, we above all, because we know the God of glory through Christ. We have no reason not to celebrate. And even looking ahead from where the Jewish nation was back in Isaiah, again, we are in the bracket. We are between the first coming. We can look back and say, God said it, He did it, He brought Jesus, He came, He suffered on the cross, He died and paid for our sin and rose again from the dead. How cool is that? And He's coming back. He's coming back. So we can celebrate both ends. And that's what Advent is. Not only the coming of Christ the first time, but the coming of Christ the second time. So this week is the week of joy. Joy. Now understand what joy is. We oftentimes confuse joy with happiness. Not the same thing. Because here's a way to remember it. Happiness depends upon what's happening. We've said this many times before. You get a raise, that happens, you're happy. Maybe you get something new, you're happy. Things turn out the way you want, you're happy. You know, it depends on circumstances because sometimes you don't get that raise. Sometimes things don't turn out the way you want and you're not happy. Happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness depends on what happens, but joy is an attitude. Happiness is an emotion, but joy is that internal attitude, that inner contentment. Last week we talked about peace, that inner contentment, that inner fulfillment that comes from knowing that not only do you know God, but you're forgiven and loved. And one day He's coming back for you. So no matter what happens, even in the midst of sickness, financial struggle, relationship issues, job issues, wealth or poverty, in the midst of that, you can have joy. Because you know, as a believer in Christ, you belong to God. And one day, all that is wrong is going to be made right. So we should celebrate. We should have a party. Take your Bibles and join me in Isaiah chapter 12. It's a short chapter. We're going to look at all these verses. Isaiah had a tough job. He had to bring the message of judgment. He had to bring the message of coming oppression. As Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, as it was split at the time, was facing the onslaught of the Assyrian Empire, and then later the southern kingdom of Judah, he prophesied that Babylon would come and harass and harangue and defeat them. But even in the midst of those two events, he helped them to understand that in God they have hope, confident anticipation that despite the circumstances today, one day God will take care of them. They also could anticipate and experience peace because nothing was happening that God didn't allow to happen, either by his perfect will or by his permissive will. God is in charge. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is sovereign. He reigns. Nothing good or bad happens to us until it passes through the hand of God first. So they were able to still enjoy peace and anticipation and hope, knowing that he was coming eventually. Well, he came, and we can celebrate. And one day, you know, we celebrate now. We can understand salvation in a better light now, but one day he's going to make, again, everything right, and he's going to fulfill his task. Jesus himself said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not only that, but he will fix what is broken, mend what is torn, fill what is empty, and raise what is down. So in Isaiah chapter 12, as we talk about joy, we have a hymn of praise here. A hymn of joy, a hymn of celebration. Man, wasn't that great to hear the children? And our praise team does an amazing job every week of pointing our hearts toward God. People, I've had people in the past, Pastor, it gets a little too loud in the church. You know what? I personally don't think it gets loud enough. Amen? You'll go out there and scream when the Panthers win. You'll go out there and shout when the Bucks win. You'll pray if Pittsburgh wins. But anyway, you pray for them to win. Where's Marvin? Okay, anyway. But we come into church and we think it should be quiet. We have reason to shout. We have reason to light it up. We have reason to feast. We have reason to celebrate because of the joy of knowing that one day God is going to pull it all together. So let's talk about joy this morning as we look at this passage. First of all, we need to understand that joy is something that we can experience now. I don't know, you know, I know what a lot of you are dealing with. I don't know what many of you are dealing with. You know, we all struggle with issues. We all struggle with things. We don't need to do a litany of what they are. Let's just be honest. Life is difficult at times. Different tough seasons, different difficult times. But nonetheless, we in those times can experience joy if our hearts and minds are directed right. Look what it says here. Isaiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And it says, and in that day, you will say, stop, what day? That day, that coming day, when the Messiah will return, judge the world, set up his kingdom, and we as believers from the Old Testament and New Testament will rule and reign and live with him for all eternity. And in that day, that's an advent, that's a coming event. And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Now notice this, though you were angry with me, and he's been angry at humanity ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He was angry at Israel at this time because they had turned their backs upon him and chased after their neighbor's false gods. He gets angry at us today because we seem to roll in and out of our faith. He gets angry at us when we sin. He gets angry at us when we ignore him. But the amazing thing about God, even though he might be angry at us, through the blood of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, which was prefigured by Israel through its sacrifices and sacrificial system, realized in the physical Son of Man, the Son of God that came. Yeah, he gets angry at us, but look what it says. Your anger is turned away. And you comfort me. Your anger is turned away and you comfort me. How can we experience the joy? First of all, we can celebrate the Lord for his forgiveness. If nothing else, if you know Christ as Savior, listen to me, you are forgiven. You say, but Pastor, what about the sins I commit tomorrow, next week, next year? Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, all humanity's sin was paid for. And as believers, when we receive Christ as our Savior through faith in him, Our sins, the Bible say, are cast as far as the east is from the west. And then as we walk with him and as we live, if we stumble, if we fumble, if we sin, in 1 John chapter 1, he says we just need to go and confess our sin through prayer. And when we do that, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done or what I'm doing. Listen, God knew everything and knows everything before you were ever born. But he still loved you. And there is no one who can be outside of the forgiveness of God. There's no one that God will deny forgiveness if they come to him by faith, owning their sinfulness with an empty hand, reaching out to God in faith. We can celebrate, man, we can get excited because we are forgiven. And if we do stumble, if we do mess up, we can go and continue to enjoy that forgiveness. So that's a joyful thing. You know, I may not have a lot at times, but I've got the forgiveness of Almighty God that makes me celebrate. Look what he says in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, which is short for Yahweh, God's name. Some Bibles translate it Jehovah. But the Hebrew name for God is Yahweh, the all self-sufficient one. Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. You know, I get frustrated with myself because I get so caught up in worldly things. I get so caught up in conditions and circumstances and issues that I forget that time is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. That one day I won't be on this planet. That one day I will drop and rise. And all those things I've stressed about, all those issues I worried about, will mean nothing. And the reason why is through the faith, my faith in Christ and his shed blood, I am saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that if I were to drop dead in front of you, not only would that give you all a cool story to tell, but I also know that one day I'll be in heaven with him. I know that. You say, how do you know you're going to heaven? You know it because Christ died. And when you come to him by faith, he gives you everlasting life. That's what 1 John 5:13 says. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. No matter what happens on this planet, no matter what financial issues a believer goes through, no matter what medical issues a believer goes through, relational issues, no matter how good the world is or how bad the world is, if nothing else, I am saved. And I don't sit and worry about what's going to happen to me when I die. I don't fret about hell. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's more precious than anything in life. So yeah, it can get bad, and it has gotten bad. It will get bad again. Life is tough. Life on this broken, flawed, confusing planet is tough. People struggle. People suffer. I don't claim to understand it all. I don't like it all. But I can find joy in the knowledge that Christ loved me enough to die for me and to offer me salvation freely by just requiring faith in him, trust in him to receive it. I'm saved. I'm saved. I hope you can say that this morning. I hope you can sit in confident anticipation of a home in heaven with Christ and say, I'm saved. Oh, Pastor, I'm not good enough. None of us are. I'm not. Oh, Pastor, I don't go to church often. Oh, Pastor, No, listen. None of us deserve heaven. Heaven is a gift given by God, which we receive not by following commands and not by being good, if you want to get really simplistic about it. It comes through abandoning our hope to save ourselves and trusting only in him to save us. That's salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest anyone should boast or brag. It's not about you and I, what we give to God. It's what God has given to us. Listen, we can celebrate as believers because we're saved. That makes Christmas ever more sweet. I'm always amazed at the unbelievers who celebrate Christmas. And I always wonder, why do you think you do this? Because it's the thing to do? Okay. That's fun still. Christmas is always fun. But as a believer, Christmas is rich. We're saved. So we can have that joy by not only celebrating the Lord for his forgiveness, but celebrating the Lord for his salvation. Bless God, I'm saved. Notice he says in verse 3, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. When you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when you're despondent, when you're struggling, you know, sometimes, and this has helped me, sometimes you just have to sit and think, you know what, I don't know what's happening, I don't know why, it's breaking my heart, but no matter what, I thank God that he loves me, he knows me, and no matter what happens, I will go to live with him one day. That's what Christmas is all about. Christ coming to pay for our salvation. Christ coming to purchase our home in heaven. And I hope to heaven that you know Jesus as your Savior. So we can experience that joy. I know life sometimes isn't fun. Life isn't joyful. But if you're depending on the world or material possessions or health or another person to make you joyful, forget it. The world is going to let you down. Material possessions break and fade and are stolen. Wealth comes and goes and people will let you down. Not meaning to, but they will. Life will be like a roller coaster. Do you want to be on that? No. It's hard enough, but man, listen, when that roller coaster is rolling, you can have the joy that's in here because if you know Jesus, it's all right. It's all right. I'm saved. Because I'm saved, I'm safe. So that's how we can experience that joy. It's not something that's only for the uber spiritual or hyper spiritual. It's for every believer who sits down and contemplates his or her salvation. Yeah, life is tough, but I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, and I'm saved. Merry Christmas, amen? So if that's what we are experiencing, we need to express that joy. You know, it's oftentimes we're told, well, you need to keep your faith to yourself. You ever heard anybody tell you that? You ever heard that said? Well, you Christians, God bless you. You can worship over there in your corner, but you need to keep your faith to yourself. You know what? That's not what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16? It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The word preach means to proclaim. We get excited about other good things in life. We get excited about our favorite restaurant, the sale at Walmart. Our kids making A's on their report cards. We get excited that the church is serving liver mush on a given Sunday breakfast. I don't know why, but bless you, okay? But oftentimes we keep our mouth shut and sit on our hands when it comes to the greatest story ever told. The greatest event that ever happened. The Messiah, God in the flesh, came to earth. Lived among us. And living among us for 30 some odd years got to know us experientially pretty well. Have you ever been around some people sometime and you spent some time with them? And after everybody goes home or you go home, you think, I hope I never have to do that again? Don't look at me all this, oh, never, Pastor. No, you have. You got to wonder, why didn't God do that? Have you been around people? He took on flesh and came and not only lived and watched us, he watches us, but he lived among us. And miraculously, he still loves us. He still loves us. Why are we quiet about that? Why don't we shout? Why don't we sing? I'm here to tell Mike Brooks, turn the music up. I'm here to tell y'all, sing louder. It's not just our team that has won. It is God that has won for us. We are. If you experience the joy, then bless God, express it. Look what Isaiah says, how he tells Israel to do it. He says in verse 4, and in that day, when it all comes together, praise the Lord and call upon his name. Praise the Lord. Give glory to God. Praising means literally counting God worthy of merit. Lift him up verbally. Praise him. Call upon his name. Then he says, declare his deeds among the people. What has God done for you? Well, the biggest thing God has done for you and I is save us. We talked Wednesday night about evangelism, how important it is to warn people of the results of sinfulness and to provide a warning message of salvation. Oh, Pastor, I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. Sure you do. You just tell them what God has done for you. You tell them what God has provided for you. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scholar. You can tell people about other good things. Tell them what God has done for you. And tell them that God can do it for them too. Declare his deeds among the people. When I was doing physical therapy in Huntersville, every week somebody graduated from the program. And there's this quiet lady, very blonde lady, very quiet, about my age. And, you know, she'd say hello, but she was very quiet. And she'd go do her exercises and do her thing. But she graduated one of the days that I was there. And she got up there and they said, well, and everybody applauded her because that's what you do. Yay! And they gave her a little diploma. And then somebody said, how did it go? What motivated you? And bless God, she shared the gospel. She got up there and she says, well, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And I trusted and placed my faith in Jesus some years ago, and it is God's power who got me through this. She said, and Jesus Christ can do, I'm standing there going, go, girl. I mean, here I am, the preacher. And she's doing, and everybody's looking at her. They didn't know what to do with her. But she, without fear, with a glow on her face, proclaimed the deeds of God. And man, that was incredible. That was powerful. That's what you can do. Declare, proclaim his deeds among the people. And it goes on to say, make mention that his name is exalted. Share the name of Jesus. Jesus, God our Savior. Yeshua in Hebrew. God our Savior. Today, Jesus is often used as a curse word. Or somebody on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever thing you get on will take that name and they'll mute it, defile it, change it. No. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Yeah, some people may not like it. Yeah, some people might be offended. But Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our King. Jesus is the reason for the season. Declare his name. Interesting, in the Hebrew, it literally is rendered remember to make mention of his name, which is exalted. And that's actually, if I were to translate this directly from Hebrew into English, it would say remember to make mention or declare his name. Make sure that it is exalted. We get so busy we forget, don't we? That's why we have times like Christmas. That's why we have times like Easter celebrations and resurrection celebrations. That's why we have communion that we observed just a week or so ago. We need to remember to tell our friends about Jesus. I have a t-shirt at home, and I put it on occasionally. I was at Publix one day, and it has Team Jesus on it. And I had my cart, and I was buzzing around. There's Ashley Helms. We always see Ashley and at the store. And I'm buzzing through there. And all of a sudden, this guy goes, amen, brother. And I had forgotten I had that shirt on. I thought, amen, yeah, okay. He must like the yogurt or something. But I was going along, and somebody goes, that's right, And for a minute, it happened to me in a car too with Susan's tag, but I could not figure it out. Oh, I get it. Jesus. Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. We just sang about that. We express our joy by praising him. We express our joy by declaring his deeds, remembering to exalt his name. And then in verse 5, it says, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing doesn't matter what, as long as you glorify God. Say, Pastor, what's your music preference? My music preference is music that glorifies God. You can sing hymns. I love the old hymns. But I also love the new stuff that we sing, the choruses, the contemporary music. If it's glorifying God, bless God, I'm singing. Amen? I know we all like this and we like that, but it's not about what we like. It's about Christ. Glorifying and honoring him. Sing. Sing. That's the joy. That's why this first part of our worship gathering is so important. As Mike and the wonderful praise team leads us from Sunday to Sunday. Sing, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And it really is. Now in Romans, it tells us that some, even though the things of God, the truth of God, the existence of God is manifest and evident in the world, we live in a culture just like Paul did in his day, just like the Jews did in their day, that suppressed that truth. But part of our expressing joy is to lift that out and demonstrate that God is among us. God is here. God has created this world. God has created you and I. God has lifted us up. God took on flesh and was born in a manger 2,000 years ago. And yes, we should sing about it. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Sing. Verse 6, cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. They knew even back in the 8th century in Isaiah's day that one day God would come and dwell among them. That's what Emmanuel means, the name used elsewhere in Isaiah, God with us. Even Job lived 4,000 years ago. Even in the midst of his pain and anguish and suffering, he declares that one day he will see God in his flesh. Job knew that through faith God would raise him and he would see God in Christ. Sing. Shout. Praise. Declare. If you're celebrating Christmas, bless God, celebrate it. Celebrate it full on. You can experience joy when you and I reflect on the fact that no matter who or what we are forgiven through Christ. No matter what we've done, it's done. It's been canceled out by what Jesus has done, by dying on the cross for us, by rising from the dead. So if you're struggling with your life, if you're trying to find joy, sit down and reflect on the idea that no matter what you've done, through faith in him, you're forgiven. And because of that, you can enjoy salvation for all eternity. You're saved. And because you're saved, you're safe. Yeah, this world's a mess. And you wonder, what's the world coming to? Well, read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. It'll tell you. And it's pretty grim. That's all right, because listen, as a believer, that's not the end of the story. According to the book of Revelation and Daniel, one day we will be with Christ forever. We will live with him in his kingdom. So enjoy and experience that joy of knowing that you're saved and forgiven. There's no greater truth. And therefore then you can express it by praising the Lord for that salvation and forgiveness. Declare his deeds. Remember to exalt his name and sing unto the Lord. All because of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And Peter is writing this in a letter toward Christianity, which is being persecuted, Christianity, which is being hunted down. Christianity, which has been displaced from its home, hiding and running. He said, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, look what he says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You know, there he talks about expressing joy, but listen, when you fixate on Jesus, who he is and what he's done for you, I don't know about you, but there are sometimes I just don't know how to put it into words. The joy that comes. Now, these are people things happening to them. They weren't good, but they had the joy, and Peter was encouraging them to see that joy that's so profound and deep and rich that even surpasses expression. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ah, man, we're saved. I love this story as we finish this morning. It says, the king of a particular country traveled often. But one day a man living near the palace remarked to a friend, well, it looks like the king is home tonight. King traveled a lot. How do you know he's home? How do you know? Asked the other. The man pointed up towards the royal house and said, because when the king is at home, he said the castle is all lit up. When you and I are focused on our king, when the king is at home living in us and we are at home in him, joy. And people will see that joy. When you're having a difficult day and everybody's struggling at work and there's something about you, people, why aren't you bothered? What is it about you that you celebrate? Why do you go to church? Because the king is home. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate the fact that God took on flesh, lived for us, died for us, rose again for us. And when we trust him, he comes to indwell within us. We are the house of the king. And really, when we're at home in the king, and the king is at home in us, we're lit up. Let's be lit up and joyful as we celebrate the fact that through faith in Christ, we are forgiven. And we're saved. Standing together with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Christmas is a wonderful time of joyful celebration. We should celebrate. We should sing loud. Celebrate big. And we should be so joyful because of the fact that first, we're forgiven. And if you don't know that, if you haven't come to that place, listen. No matter who you are or what you've done, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you. You say, oh, Pastor, but I'm this. No, it doesn't matter. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood washed away the sins of the world. When he died, he took your place. He died for you. He paid the death payment that you and I owed. He was buried and rose again from the dead. And because he's alive, because that proves that he is who he said he was, we can be saved and live forever. And it's not about keeping a bunch of laws or religious requirements. It's about coming to God and admitting our sin, confessing our sin, owning our sin, and going to him with complete faith in him and his son. Saying something like, God, I can't save myself. I'm not and never will be good enough. But I thank you that Jesus loved me anyway. And he died for me. Took the blame for all of my sin, was buried and rose again from the dead. And the best I know how, I'm trusting him as my personal Savior. Then you will be a recipient of God's forgiveness. And you will be saved. Not saved till you sin again. Not saved till you don't feel like. No, you're saved and safe. The Bible teaches that salvation is eternal. The moment you get saved, you have everlasting life. Would you trust him if you've never done that? Then you have a reason to celebrate. When things get hard, things get difficult, it seems like there's no hope. You have the anticipation, the hope of heaven. You can't have peace. Well, you'll never get peace focusing on the world. But when you focus on your Savior, the one who's forgiven you, you can have peace. And when you find that hope and peace, you can celebrate with joy. And go find someone else that's struggling and suffering and tell them that good news. If you know Jesus as Savior, it's not hard. It just takes effort sometimes to pull away from our troubles and to sit down, open Scripture, and be reminded again of His promises. You are forgiven. And through faith in Christ, you are saved. And that one day, you'll be with Him for eternity. I know when I've been in that place, I've had to go back and find my joy many times. But I've never come away from that reflection not joyful. It's hard here, I know it. And you wonder, why I'm a believer, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Listen, I can't answer that question for me, much less for you either. But I do know that God loves me in spite of it. I also know that that life itself is very short compared to eternity. So the moments of this suffering in this life are nothing compared to eternity of bliss and celebration with God. So we can find joy. And with that joy, we can celebrate this season. Christ came for us and He's coming back for us. And so I encourage you to celebrate it loud and big and tell anybody you can how to celebrate it with you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've given us. Lord, there are times when life just beats us down. It's a hard world, it's always been. But Father, we thank You that through Christ we can find forgiveness for when we fail, and we have and will. And through that forgiveness we can be saved and safe. And while the world may pound at us and pummel us, one day it'll be all over and we'll be with You. Help us to find our joy in Christ. Help us to find our joy in You. And Father, as we celebrate Christmas, whether things are good or bad, whether we're struggling or not, help Christmas to remind us that You loved us enough to come and get us the first time, to save us, to ready us, and remind us that You're coming back for us one day. Until then, Father, give us joy. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.